Good Monday afternoon. I feel like singing The Boys Are Back in Town. You guys know that song? The Boys Are Back in Town!
I love how every time you say, do you know that song, it's a song that's gone like quadruple platinum. It's impossible not to.
No, never heard it.
Listen, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, I'm Ray Brewer, along with Case Kiefer. He knows every song that's ever been made and played, platinum, double platinum, 1,000 downloads. Ryan Green, he knows everything UNLV related. We're here Mondays, 5:30. Welcome aboard. Yes, the boys are back in town, all three of us here. Breaking it down, and it's
basically you mean Kiefer's back.
Kiefer's back. Well, he's a third of our organization here.
That's true.
Who sung that song? The Boys Are Back in Town.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I can't tell you the band, but I know that.
Willing to bet that they didn't do anything meaningful after that either.
Well, all you need is one triple platinum.
Exactly.
And you're in, baby.
Exactly.
So, anyways, the boys are back. LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Big week in the fighting world. Case Kiefer's got the bags packed, or almost packed, headed to Philly for a UFC 133 event. And my man, Tito Ortiz, is fighting, baby. Quick turnaround after he won me a little chakarooski in the last fight out. Big underdog cashed a ticket. Tell us about the card. Is the Tito fight the only reason I'm getting excited, or should I get more excited for something else? But
another Tito Ortiz love fest today from Ray Brewer.
I could have stayed home.
This card kind of has stuck with the trend of a lot of injuries, a lot of things that kind of got scratched. One of the other headlining fights got scratched, Nogueira versus Rich Franklin. Tito Ortiz, a late replacement for Phil Davis, who got hurt. So you're looking at Phil Davis out, Tito Ortiz in, kind of a similar situation to his last fight in terms of big underdog, not a lot of people expecting him to be able to beat Rashad Evans, but I'm assuming you still will. It's kind of interesting because they do kind of have an unsettled score, Evans and Ortiz. They did fight once before, UFC, I believe 76, somewhere in the 70s a few years ago, and it went to a draw. Ortiz actually won the fight pretty much, but he got deducted a point for continually holding onto the fence, and so it was a draw. He says that, you know, he doesn't really feel like he has any score to settle, which I found kind of surprising because you've seen guys Tito loses to in his career, like Forrest Griffin. That's all he talks about is how he wants another shot. He said he doesn't care that he had a draw with Rashad. He just wants to win this time. I don't think he's going to win, but I have a feeling you're going to tell us why Tito's going to do it again.
Well, that's coach speak when he says, yeah, I'm not looking forward to getting a little revenge. Of course you have to. It's the nature of fighting. You have to want to get a little revenge. Here's the reason I like Tito. And don't hum me, Ryan. Come on, give me a break here, brother. He's on the high from the big victory in his last fight, right? He should have been out of UFC. You guys had him buried, right? You had dirt on the grave. He came, he was inspired, he was fired up, he was injury-free, Case and Ryan, and he fought a good fight, and more importantly, he put a good show on. Tito was the man, he's got the momentum going, he wasn't hurt in the last fight.
Against a fighter who hadn't done really much to prove that, let's just be real, Ryan, Rashad Evans is on a completely different level. Ryan Bader.
Don't talk about Ryan Bader because he's from Reno like that. He was a good fighter. He was supposed to be good. And just get on the
He was puffed up for that fight because he was going against Tito Ortiz.
Well,
I think. I mean, I don't know if Case agrees with that, but I do think this is about two level, maybe a level up from Ryan Bader.
I definitely agree it's a level up from Ryan Bader. I mean, Rashad Evans, to me, should be ranked the number two guy in the light heavyweight class right now. He was supposed to fight John Jones at this thing. Jones got hurt, moved on. You know, I don't want to get into a big debate about Ryan Bader, but it's tough to understand this guy. He did look like he was a huge, bright prospect. He looked like, behind John Jones, he's the future of the division, and then he goes out and loses to Tito in less than 2 minutes. So I don't really know what to make of Ryan Bader at this point, but I will say this. Rashad Evans is better than just about anyone at 205. It's going to be a tough fight.
It's going to be a tough fight, and I don't want to talk about Ryan Bader all day, but, I mean, you guys built him up to be Hulk Hogan 2 weeks ago.
Because Tito was done.
No, well, that clearly isn't
clearly
done, baby.
Clearly wasn't.
The Huntington Beach bad boy is back. Get on the bandwagon while you can.
No.
But
I'm all right.
But UFC goes to Philly. Rashad Evans, obviously one of the best lightweights there is, if not the best, depending on who you talk to, right?
Light heavyweight.
Light
yes.
Heavyweight, same thing for me. And this is another chance where if Tito wins this, Case, is he now one of the the all-time greats in MMA? And you, I mean, he's already has a place in history is for what he's done, but does this just take it to a whole no crazy level?
I already think he's an all-time great, already going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. But I think if he wins here, it just throws a wrench into everything. I think if he wins here, you have to say he's a top five light heavyweight, which makes no sense because we never would have thought that. I also think that one reason I really like this fight is because I think Rashad Evans against Phil Davis was a much, much tougher fight for Rashad. Phil Davis, undefeated, up-and-coming guy. And the fight everyone wants to see is Rashad Evans and John Jones because, look, the biggest story probably in MMA this year has been Rashad going from mentor to John Jones, best buddies, to now they're hated enemies. Rashad left the camp because he's so mad at John Jones. And I think the Tito fight is going to be easier to get Rashad into that fight with whoever wins John Jones and Rampage next month. And I think Phil Davis would have been a little bit more of a step in the way. But, you know, I don't know. If Tito wins, I don't know what you do. I think he'd have to win one more fight before he gets a title shot. But I think if he beats Rashad, he's at most one fight away from getting a title shot, which is just crazy and doesn't make any sense.
So he's essentially, in addition to everybody hating him, if he wins, ruins the whole UFC. I can't believe you're saying that about a legend. I mean,
well, not ruins it. I just think I think right now, if you're looking at the landscape of the light heavyweight division, it's really clear what kind of it looks like is going to happen. Rashad beats Tito, he's going to get the next shot at the belt. The belt is either going to be one of his two biggest enemies in the world, Rampage or John Jones, who fight in September. I think it sets up really easily. It's going to be Rashad versus one of those guys at the beginning of next year or at the end of this year. If Tito wins, what do you do? I'm not saying it's bad for the UFC. I'm just saying it kind of jumbles everything. It kind of makes things interesting. You could argue it'd be a good thing.
Yeah, LasVegasSun.com, Sports Talk, Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer, Ryan Green. The trio of terror, the Tres Amigos from the Las Vegas Sun, breaking it down. And Ryan Green, here's my deal with Tito Ortiz is there's two school of thoughts. One, there's no way he could physically and mentally be ready to go 6 weeks after such a huge emotional fight. And then there's my school of thought, which says, dude, he doesn't have to get back in shape. He's already there. He's at a top peak. He just has to watch some film and he's there. What do you think? Is it an advantage? Is it a disadvantage that, you know, ultimately he fought 6 weeks ago?
What's the number on the fight?
It's plus four. He's plus 400.
All right. I'll answer it with this one question. You got a mortgage I can borrow?
To put on Tito?
No. The other way.
Oh, don't say that.
You got a mortgage I can borrow?
Okay. Let me ask you this.
I think even if he had, you know, 3 months to prepare for this fight, I probably still wouldn't change my opinion on it. I just, you know, look, I think it's a good move by Tito to step up and take the fight right away. You do want to try to ride that wave of momentum, and I don't blame him for that. But you know, look, this is the reality of it. This is the caliber of fighter he was going to have to fight next, because he's kind of run out of that. I mean, he's kind of run the gamut of that middle tier in the light heavyweight class where, you know, now he has to start stepping up and taking on some of the elites again. And, I think for his benefit, it would have been better to wait a little while, but, you know, it's just not his style, I guess.
It only takes one punch, and he's got a fighter's chance. That's what you were telling me, dude.
So you're going to put your mortgage on that?
No, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I'm not Looney Tooney, you know, but my $7 investment from the last time.
You didn't even buy us anything.
Parlayed that to a little filet action.
You didn't even buy me a bottle of water. You didn't buy me nothing.
I brought you bottled water the other day, remember, from the break room? Yeah, I had the Coke and the water.
Because the price is right.
Hey, it's perfect. We're talking UFC 133 in Philly. Obviously, Tito Ortiz for me is one of the main fights. But, Case, Saturday you got to talk with Victor Belfort, and people want to see him. Did I say the name
you've
right?
You've got Green laughing because you've reached your quota of mispronouncing names.
How do you say the last name?
Victor Belfort taking on...
take out the C.
It's Vitor.
Vitor Belfort. Victor, whomever. Baby, come on. I can't do names.
He fights Yoshihiro Akiyama in the main event.
I'd love to hear you try to remember how to say that
one. I was going to try to be like real witty and think of a funny way to pronounce Yoshihiro, but I couldn't really think of...
Yoshimori Akamaji.
Yeah. But anyway, he takes on Akiyama, a fight that people are expecting a lot out of entertainment-wise. I don't think hardly anyone thinks Belfort's going to lose. He seems like he's kind of on a different level than Akiyama. But Akiyama, every time he's fought in the UFC, has just been like these crazy battles that go down as like a fight of the year candidate. Belfort's kind of got the same style. I think Belfort is a lot better. I think he'll win, but that should be a fun one to watch. And speaking with Belfort Saturday, as you said, we'll have a story on LasVegasSun.com shortly by tomorrow. But anyway, what he said was he thinks if he wins this fight, he should automatically get the next shot at Anderson Silva if Anderson Silva wins later this month in Brazil, which I found interesting because, of course, that fight was just here in February. He lost. So Belfort, I mean, he thinks he's right on the verge of getting another title shot. I think he's actually going to have to win one more. But he was really confident. He said, if you look at the things I've done in my career, he said, Anderson Silva got lucky with that kick, and I deserve another shot. So I don't know if I agree with all that, but that's what he said Saturday. That's the gist of where he's going.
Just like you got lucky with those first 13 points in our last racquetball game this morning. Luck my butt.
Who won that game?
He won three of the four games.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Competitive games, though.
Yeah, I think we were both humbled on the racquetball court today because I know Green used to play a lot in Lawrence. I played all the time at KU, and I think I got really good in college, and I could pretty much play with anyone. And now Green and I mean, it was like the seniors league out there. I mean, we're whiffing or hitting off the top of our rackets. But hey, we'll get back to the level where we
in about three weeks, there's gonna be words on this show.
When I was a kid, I went to this camp at UNLV called Summer Thing. And it was like 5 hours, and you went from like racquetball to basketball to like arts and crafts to swimming. And so there was a racquetball course, and that was like when John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors were playing like in Wimbledon during the summer. And you remember they would always hit, and they'd be like, ah!
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I'm in there playing racquetball, and I'm doing the same thing. Ah! And of course, I went over the top, and I hit some kid in the head with a racket, bleeding stitches.
That is a great story.
Yeah. Thankfully, our day today did not end with stitches.
Yeah, no stitches, luckily. I'll say, I think we played our third game was probably our best. We were really back and forth playing pretty well. And then the fourth game was just the epitome of sloppy. I think I went up 11-1, and then Green made it, I think, 14-11.
Isn't there a mercy rule?
So game of runs.
No, and you got to win by two.
I don't believe in quitting, Ray.
Yes, you do have to win by two. I think the second game, if I'm not mistaken, the one Ryan won, it was like 17-15. So, yeah. You know, we went for a good while.
Nice. So if you guys play again next week, who's going to be the Tito Ortiz or Oshihiro Bamudumum?
I think what we saw today is neither of us are on the Tito Ortiz plus 400 level. Wow.
Neither of us
other.
Are on our game. Check back in about 3 weeks.
Pretty evenly matched.
Yes.
And UFC 133 for me. You were talking about how it's going to be, the fans expect it to be case back and forth, a lot of hits. And a lot of the fights we talk about, I don't know if it's the UFC PR machine blowing up a fight to where you think it's going to be back and forth or if it really is going to be back and forth.
They don't do that.
But oh, of course not. But for a fight like that, if it ends in the first round, do you feel kind of let down or do you want to – I would think that – if they're going to beat each other and there's going to be blood and guts and it's going to be one of these epic fight of the year things, it's got to go more than one round, right?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you're always disappointed if it ends in the first round. I mean, if it's two guys that are just going at each other, if there's something spectacular that happens. Look, I don't think it was disappointing personally at UFC 126 or, like you said, the PR machine. It was sold out at Mandalay Bay, the biggest show they've probably had in Vegas in the last couple years. And Anderson Silva ended it in about 4 minutes with that front kick to Belfort's face. I don't think that was disappointing because, I mean, that was so unforeseen. No one had ever been knocked out like that before. But, I mean, if it's a first round and you get two guys in there and it's like, I'm trying to think of another, like Chris Lieben and Wanderlei Silva at UFC 132 and Lieben just hits him three times and he goes down, then it's disappointing. So I think it can go either way, you know?
A lot of haymakers throwing around, right? Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what I like is when they're getting each other in the face. I'm not a big – the kicking doesn't do much for me. You know, kicking at the legs. But anyways, Case, enough. Who else is on the card? Is there another fight that you've kind of circled as like, oh, boy, here we go?
A couple other fights I think that I'm really looking forward to. Mike Pyle, another local fighter, is kind of in the third featured fight, taking on Rory McDonald, who's – 23-year-old from Canada, one of the brightest prospects, I think, in MMA right now. 10 seconds away from being undefeated. Pyle's about a plus 300 favorite. But it's crazy. Mike Pyle has won three in a row, and every fight they put him in against a guy like McDonald that has all this hype behind him, then he goes in and wins somehow. So I'm really interested to see if Pyle, who trains at Extreme Couture, can do the same to Rory McDonald. And the other fight I want to make sure we mention is... actually, I can't believe with all the injuries they didn't move this one to the main card. It's the last one on Spike TV. Matt Hamill and Alexander Gustafsson from Sweden. We just saw Hamill headline a card, 2 months ago here against Rampage, lose. Now he's fighting Gustafsson, who's this big prospect, only has one loss. Gustafsson's a minus 220 favorite. This could be big for Gustafsson because it's kind of his test to see if he can move up into the upper tier of the 205-pound class. But now Hamill takes this on short notice. If he loses two in a row, I mean, your stock's kind of plummeting. So, and he's got a major motion picture coming out in October about his life and all these things. I think he has all these good things going for him. I'm kind of surprised he took this fight on short notice against a guy that really is thought highly of. Gustafsson's only loss is to Phil Davis. I think it's going to be a really good fight. And maybe I don't think the odds should be as high as they are in Gustafsson's favor.
How do they come up with these odds? I mean, it seems like a dog comes in every, a few dogs come in every card. You know, it seems like of all the sports, you know, there's mathematical, you know, the Pirates are playing and they're plus 400 because Holiday's on the bump and he's got this great record and great ERA and the Pirates don't hit righties, or, you know, the Packers are playing at home against the Lions and the Lions haven't won in Green Bay in so many years, blah, 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 take the Packers. You know, in basketball, so-and-so hasn't lost at home, and you got all these stats and figures to back it up. And MMA, it's you literally, you got shots coming from hands and elbows and feet and wherever. One shot knocks you out. I would think it'd be impossible. Absolutely downright impossible.
That's why you don't bet on it.
No, I think it's a bettor's it's a bettor's haven. I mean, with all the plus money.
It is the definition of gambling. Let's just say that. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at baseball, football, basketball, things like that, you can handicap and you can do your research and you can do your due diligence and figure out which side is the right side with a lot of games. But with fighting, I mean, there's so many variables. Let's just be real. It is the epitome of gambling.
Could we go into a business together?
It's like going to the casino and playing war.
Could we go into a business, casino call it MMAhandicapping.com, and we sell our picks for like $10?
Well, if we could get our former colleague and loyal listener, Brett Okamoto, on board, I think we might be on to something, because this guy, every fight I talk to him about, he picks the right fight. He's the only guy I know that I think maybe it isn't gambling, because he has an unbelievable record on our picks on LasVegasSun.com. I don't think I can go on the MMAHandicapping.com business. I don't have a good enough record.
This is why I don't like betting on MMA, though, because with baseball, you know, you got CC Sabathia against I don't know who's a crappy AL pitcher.
Let me check.
I don't know. Check your ticket from today. who's a crappy American League pitcher?
Who's CC's at the Sox today, isn't he?
Yeah. Who's a terrible American League pitcher? Give me one. I can't think of one off the top. Kyle Davies. Okay. Say they're playing the Royals and you get Kyle Davies on the other side and CC's, you know, minus 300. You can at least make up for that somewhat by, you know, going on the run line or going over to your favorite little shop and getting the 2.5 run line. But in MMA, you can't do that, and that disappoints me. I wish they'd figure out a way with MMA gambling or betting, let's say that, figure out a way to do that.
Like the goal and a half in hockey.
We'll win in the first round. We'll win in the second round. We'll win in the third. We'll vote a decision.
I think it's tough. It's just that a lot of places here – don't do it. There are places you can go here that have that kind of stuff. The Venetian comes to mind.
Oh, my goodness.
But a lot of places don't have those options of by knockout, by submission, by decision, where you can kind of get, if you feel like you know where the fight's going, you can kind of get a better price.
Hold on. What did you just put in my hand? Let's see. This is a...
Turn this into a sports gambling show.
I want you to explain this. All right. You handed to over here the biggest sports betting ticket I've ever seen in my life. This thing seriously looks like my grocery store receipt. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games.
Couldn't find an eighth game to get on there.
Oh, clearly.
My apologies.
Why don't you put Alexander the Mauler Gustafsson?
I don't want to have to wait until
yeah,
Saturday.
Good point.
We've got a round robin. 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, and 7s. All plus prices. Now, if this hits, how much do you think that is?
Well, it's for a nickel away, so I'm not quite sure.
Give me a guesstimation.
Hopefully 500, I would think.
Wow.
For 495 cents. But
pin that on your desk, even if it doesn't win. That thing's awesome.
Yes, we try our hardest. Case getting ready to go to Philly, the city of brotherly love. A lot of what are the Philly cheesesteaks?
Yes.
Do they do those with Cheese Whiz still?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder how that works, man. There's no way you could bring one of those back?
No.
I probably could bring it back. I don't think it's going to be very good. Like,
it'd be cold and mushy.
Yeah.
It'd be like cheesesteak soup by the time you get it.
Yeah, so I don't think it would taste very good.
Cheesesteak paste.
What's your coverage going to look like this week on LasVegasSun.com? Are we going to get an exclusive one-on-one with Tito so we could show you that punch? Got him back in the game.
I wish you would have brought the odds sheet in here so we could have played our little pick-a-three-teamer game.
Oh, yeah, I know. I really should have brought the odds sheet in
here. Got to start doing that, yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, I mentioned the injuries that happened on this card. There's a lot of chalky favorites. So I have a feeling the sportsbooks are going to be rooting for just one underdog. Like, the sportsbooks had a great day at UFC 132 because every parlay had Ryan Bader tied into it at minus 500.
Including mine.
Yeah, including Ryan's. I'm sure some people cash tickets on Tito, including some of the fighters, interestingly enough, so that they bet on Tito.
Yeah.
I think Diego Sanchez was one of them.
What other sport would you see that in? Could you imagine if, you're in town and you want to go bet, I play for the Mets, I'm going to go bet the Braves today, I'm on a break.
You'd have to wear a fake mustache.
It's interesting, I mean, we're kind of getting all over the place here, but last week on LasVegasSun.com, we had a story about World Series of Poker betting, and when I brought that up to our friend, the World Series of Poker, one of the kind of three main guys over there, Seth Polansky, he said, they're not worried about poker players betting, and even the guys at the table can bet on themselves. He said, look at boxing, look at fighting, guys do it all the time. There are some things out there, so maybe we'll see. I know Ben Lamb, who's at the main event final table, tweeted that he's gonna get some action on himself at 6-1. So poker is another one where you can bet on yourself.
The one of the biggest dogs of all time was Holyfield against Tyson the first fight. Not
what
the one
in
where
that
he
fight?
Holyfield beat him.
Okay, and what was the number?
I think he was like maybe 400 or 500. Not Buster Douglas-esque numbers, but a lot of people cashed tickets that day. And wouldn't it have been cool if he went up to the post-fight media conference with a ticket that said, like, real deal Holyfield, like, 100 grand to win 2 million or whatever?
I think that the MGM Sportsbook is going to call for approval. And if it's Evander Holyfield, I don't think they're going to take his $100,000 wager. That's just a hunch.
Even if it's on himself?
Wasn't there, like, a $2 million bet on the Super Bowl on the Packers? Or a million? Or was it
a million. Yeah, I think that there's been at least confirmed there's been one $1 million wager each of the last 2 years. And it was on the Colts money line 2 years ago. So
wasn't that? Remember the Florida State quarterback McPherson bet on Florida State?
Yes.
Where
are you going?
We're just bringing up incidents.
Yeah, well, I covered a fight card in Prim once. There was a guy from like England or something, this huge guy. And after they won, they were celebrating, and his trainer was holding up this ticket from the sports book in Prim, and he was like plus 300, and it was a $1,500 ticket. I don't remember how, plus 300, you do the math. So that's a part of what they're celebrating. He wasn't celebrating that his guy just won. He was celebrating that his guy made him probably double what his salary was for the fight already.
Wow. LasVegasSun.com. We started UFC. We've transitioned to a little sports betting, but our bread and butter, Ryan Green, is always UNLV Hoop. Big story today from you. Caton Reinhart making the unofficial visit.
Likely.
Didn't know his grandparents live here.
That's huge.
Oh,
yeah. He's, talking to that kid is pretty interesting. He, a lot of these kids, when you ask them, you'll ask these kids, like, hey, when are you planning on making a decision? They go, I want to take all my visits. And, I was very refreshed by his answer where he said, I'd like to take all my visits, but if I go somewhere and just really like it, I might just commit right there. He's honest. So, hearing that, it sounds like UNLV is going to be getting the first post-July unofficial visit from him. That puts some pressure on Dave Rice and company, I think, because now it's known that if you wow him enough, you can get that visit or you can get that commitment on the visit, maybe. So, I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. It would be the highest. I know rankings are, only mean so much, but he would be the highest ranked commitment UNLV has had since, I'm not even going to count Biaz Hamga, but since Wink Adams. So, big.
Here's my deal. On an unofficial, obviously you pay for yourself, but How else is the trip dummy down? Are you just basically going in and talking to coaches and maybe getting a little
basically tour? And getting the tour? When you do an official visit, that's where they, you know, they put you up for the weekend in a hotel. They got all kinds of stuff planned. You hang out with the team. You go play like pickup basketball with the team and all that stuff. There's a lot more to it on a official visit. Unofficial is really just kind of, it really is just a meet and greet. I mean, and a little bit of a tour, and you know, if they have some kind of like you know, DVD to show you or something like that, they'll, you know.
But they can't throw lunch at you.
Not that I know of, no.
Well, he's taken as unofficial. Also, Johnson's taken an unofficial.
DeMarcus Johnson, who's really interesting player, a 6'5" wing from originally from Detroit. He plays his high school ball at Westwood Prep in Arizona. Interesting player. He's 6'5", and he's very similar, I think, to a Shabazz Muhammad. Not as aggressive in taking the basketball to the basket, but you know, a good outside shooter, can play multiple positions. And you know, look, if you get him, I don't think it's a sign that, you know, you're not recruiting Shabazz anymore. I think it's a sign that if Shabazz doesn't work out, you got a nice insurance policy too. And DeMarcus is gonna be a really good player.
And he's gonna be around longer than a Shabazz Muhammad.
Likely.
Theoretically, yes.
Likely.
Likely. Well, UNLV basketball, looking up Bryce Jones, everybody's high on. All the names being thrown around in recruiting would be a major upgrade to the roster. And, you know, LasVegasSun.com, later today we're talking with Jerry Tarkanian. He was out there at some of the tournaments, saw Shabazz play, gave us a breakdown of Shabazz. And I will tell you, folks, a little shocking to me, Tark, I thought that he was at the games with his family or some other Rebel people. He was actually with John Calipari most of the day, mm-hmm. ate dinner with Cal at Pierio's and says that Kentucky's a great place. So
interesting.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Not doing any favors for his former player, Dave Rice.
He did one game I saw him at, he was with his grandkids, and Dave came up and sat with him for, I think pretty much during halftime, most of the second half. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I can't wait
to look at that.
Yeah, and you know, I was talking to Coach about the point guard they signed from the Baltimore area, and Coach was telling me some famous Baltimore residents who've played for UNLV.
Such as?
The James brothers. I don't know if you remember Spoon Booby James. It was in the early to mid-80s. Every time they would announce his name, everybody would go, "Spoon! Spoon!" And it sounded like they were booing him, but it was... It was pretty cool.
Are they saying boo or booer?
I remember Booby Williams from Friday Night Lights book and movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
Booby Miles.
Same, but, Booby Miles. There you go.
How dare you.
Well, I said Johnson because you got me on DeMarcus Johnson still, who apparently doubles as a UFC fighter and a UNLV recruit. I hope that he's better at basketball than he is at fighting because he's just average at best at fighting.
He is.
And then there was Gary Graham, who was on the 87 Final Four team, was also from the Baltimore area.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was... good little angle. Now Daquan Cook coming in from Baltimore. And, you know if he's recruiting. Tarker also told me they never recruited in the South. And I was like, why? Why didn't you recruit in the South, Coach? He goes, because to get a player out of the South, you had to have money to pay him, and we weren't going to pay anybody. Case Kiefer's
classic.
Case Kiefer to my left is from the South. He's also going to be in Philly this weekend, UFC 133. All the coverage on our website. For Ryan Green and Case, I'm Ray Brewer. Thanks for listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes up.